Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our media call. We have on the line Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus. And the two of them are going to be talking about farm to fleet, and they're going to be highlighting advanced biofuels to create jobs in rural America and to ensure a dependable domestic fuel supply for our country's military, and how this farm to fleet comes into play with this. If you'd like to ask questions, reporters, please let us know by pressing *1 on your touch tone pad. First, we'll hear from Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, followed by Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and Secretary Vilsack, take it away.
Thank you very much, Susan. I really want to thank Secretary Mabus for taking time from his busy schedule to join us today. There is no doubt that we have put in place during this administration a plan to revitalize and renew the rural economy based on the tremendous natural resource advantage that rural America has. A critical component to that revitalized rural economy is the development of a bio-based economy, where we use what we grow and what we raise and products from what we grow and raise to produce more value-added items. We are thrilled with the relationship that we've had with the Department of Navy. We announced not long ago a partnership with the Navy and the Department of Energy to develop a drop-in aviation fuel. We announced recently four projects that are underway to try to develop a fuel that will be competitively priced for the Defense Department that will be a drop-in aviation fuel. This complements our efforts that ranges everywhere from our BioCrop assistance program, providing resources to producers to produce alternative feedstocks, to the biorefineries that we're helping to support with guaranteed loans, to the advanced biofuel payments that we make to producers. We recognize and appreciate as well the need to expand demand for biofuels, which is why we have focused our Renewable Energy for America program on developing blender pumps for vehicle transportation systems. But there is a tremendous opportunity in both the commercial and Defense Department aviation and marine fuels industry. And that's why we're excited to continue and to expand on our partnership today with the Defense Department and specifically the Department of the Navy. We've creatively used our tools to develop a real opportunity for the Navy to have a more balanced fuel portfolio, and we are excited about the announcement that we're going to make today. I'm going to turn it over to my good friend Ray Mabus to announce specifically what we're going to do, and then I'll have a comment or two after he comments on this program, and then we'll open up to questions. Right.
Thank you, Secretary Vilsack, and I want to say what a great partner Tom Vilsack and the U.S. Department of Agriculture is in this ongoing national security project to make our fuel pricing more even, to have a domestic source of renewable fuel that we can use for national defense purposes. And what we are announcing today is the Farm to Fleet is pairing the Department of the Navy and Department of Agriculture to begin integrating our aviation fuel, JP5, and our marine diesel, F-76 biofuels, as part of the just normal Defense Logistics Agency energy bulk fuel acquisitions process. We will seek to purchase biofuels blended from 10 to 50% with conventional fuels. USDA CCC funds are available to support that effort, and this effort marks the start of a new normal where drop-in biofuels will be fully integrated with our regular fuel operations. And the big news about this may be that there's no news. This is just part of our normal business of buying fuel, and that's what it will be into the future. The Farm to Fleet, we will have an industry day that USDA and Navy will co-host in January. There will be two different solicitations for this in 14 for delivery of the fuel in mid-15. And this begins to get us to the 50-50 to the 50% non-fossil fuel goal for the Navy for both afloat and ashore fuel. And this is just the latest example of this partnership between Navy and USDA. In 2011, the President told Agriculture, Navy, and Energy departments to investigate how they can work together. Already, using a 1950 Act, the Defense Production Act, we have awarded four companies contracts to produce, beginning in 2016, 170 million gallons of biofuel a year for less than $4 a gallon, less than what we're paying for conventional fuels today. And while this farm to fleet is separate from that, it will help make the transition from where we are today to where we can get to with the Defense Production Act. And based on our preliminary indications that we've gotten from the Defense Production Act biofuels project, we anticipate that prices will be competitive with traditional fuels. And I just want to end up with why we're doing this, because we're doing it, as Tom Vilsack said, to help the rural economy, to help the farm economy, to help this economy become a bioeconomy across this country. The Navy has had a long tradition of connection, not only with states along the ocean, but also with rural heartland states far inland. In fact, we even have a nickname for them, Square State Sailors. And we couldn't put the fleet to sea without those sailors that come from the farms and the rural areas of our country. But the second reason we are doing it is to give us a secure, domestically produced energy source. In the last 3 years, because of price spikes, the Department of Defense has had to pay an additional $5 billion in unbudgeted fuel increases. Every time you have a crisis somewhere, because oil is a globally traded commodity, oil prices surge, they spike. With Syria, which is not an oil producer much at all, prices spiked over $107 a barrel. Well, just for the Navy and Marine Corps, every time the price goes up a dollar, it costs us $30 million. And we don't have many places to go get that money. The only places we have to go get it is through operations and training. So we fly less, we steam less, we train less. Or if the bill gets too big, we begin to cut ships and aircraft. Neither one of these is a good option, and that's why we absolutely have to have, particularly in this constrained budget environment, a stable, domestically produced, a stably priced, domestically produced alternative to fossil fuels that do spike just on world crises. So I think this announcement today shows that we are moving down that road, and we're moving down that road at a pretty good clip. So again, thank you, Secretary Vilsack.
Well, Secretary, thank you very much.
After the tone, please state your name.
Chuck Zimmerman.
Thank you.
It disproportionately sends the sons and daughters to all of the armed forces, and we need a revitalized rural economy to ensure that those young men and women still have opportunities to return to their home areas when they complete their service. This is a tremendous opportunity for us to partner. And as the Secretary indicated, it is a transition. As we develop a drop-in aviation fuel, this will help to spur more interest in aviation and marine fuel, which will also have an impact, obviously, on the commercial aviation industry as well, as our Farm to Fly initiative is seeking to establish up to 1 billion gallons of fuel for the commercial aviation industry. We want to be a partner, and the way we can be a partner is by using our tools, so the CCC funds, to ensure the Navy that these fuels will be competitively priced. It's possible that that tool may not be used, but it certainly makes it easier for folks to know that that's available. And we're looking forward to January 30th at the Jefferson Auditorium here at USDA to welcome members of the industry to learn more about this program, to encourage them to solicit bids and interest in this program. And we believe it's just another way of indicating the support that the president and his administration has for this bio-based economy and the biofuel industry.
Thank you, gentlemen, for your opening statements. Reporters, if you want to ask a question, let us know by pressing *1 on your touch-tone pad. I want to first ask you guys, you mentioned both in your statements that this is helping the farmers and the rural economy. Can you be a little more specific of what the benefits are to them?
Well, we're going to, this is Tom Vilsack. Let me start with the fact that we're looking at a pretty good healthy crop this year. And to the extent that we can find alternative uses for the crops that are being grown, we can stabilize farm prices. And to continue to have record farm income and strong farm income. And also, as we develop this industry, many farm families are looking for employment. And these employment opportunities can take place at the production facilities that are producing this fuel for the use of the Navy. And it will help to support family incomes with the job growth that this announcement can create and the job stability it can create in rural communities. So it is about stabilizing prices, stabilizing farm income, and offering opportunities for farm families and rural families alike to produce this fuel.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to our reporters on the line. Let's start off with Chuck Zimmerman with AgWired, and he'll be followed by Bloomberg News' Alan Bierga. Chuck.
Yes. Secretary Vilsack, another program that's very important is a thing called a farm bill. Will we have one this year, next year, an extension? Where do you think we're at this point?
Well, I've said earlier today that I feel like a groom at the altar waiting for the bride to come down the aisle. Always hopeful, but I've yet to see her coming down the aisle. I think the conference committee has worked hard, but I think it's fairly clear that it's not going to get done before this year, at the end of this year. There were a set of consequences from storms that made it hard for certain congressional staffers to be able to do the work of scoring farm bill proposals to some remaining issues that have to be worked out. And my hope is that we will continue to see progress in these negotiations so that by the time the House and Senate leave for their Christmas holiday, that we have a framework in place that can be part of a conference discussion early in January and hopefully action by the Congress in January. It's critically important. Many of the programs that we're talking about here today in terms of helping the bio-based economy and rural development and biorefinery assistance programs and advanced biofuel producer programs, these are all somewhat dependent on the passage of a farm bill. I think rural America has been quite patient with Congress, and I suspect that people are very tired and frustrated at the uncertainty that's occurred, but hopefully we are very close, and hopefully we get this done in the next 30, 45 days.
Thank you.
Let's continue with our callers on the line. Alan Bierga with Bloomberg News. Alan.
Yes, Secretary Vilsack. Following up on that, given the recent congressional decisions you've been seeing and the words you've been hearing in your discussions with the principals, how is this affecting any USDA plans for implementing the 1949 law on dairy at the beginning part of the year? Do you have any timeline on that, and do the recent discussions affect what timeline there might be?
Well, as I said before, it's our responsibility if Congress fails to act to implement the permanent law that's on the books. It's not something that anybody wants to have happen. Certainly I don't want it to have happen. I think the best way for it not to happen is for Congress to complete its work and do its job. What I have indicated to Senator Stabenow is that it is unlikely, given the complexity of what will be required to implement the law, that we would have that in place through the month of January. And I'm hopeful that will negate the need for any kind of discussion of extensions, and I'm hopeful that will continue to encourage members of the conference committee to complete their work expeditiously so that we can get this bill passed in the first part of January so that we don't have to worry about when permanent law comes into place.
Let's continue with our calls on the line. Hoosier Ag Today's Gary Truitt. Gary.
Thank you. Mr. Secretary, the EPA has proposed some restrictions or regulations or program for next year that would affect the amount of renewable fuels that will be produced and blended. Will those potential restrictions have any impact on this program and the availability of renewable fuels for the Navy?
Well, the RFS is primarily focused on transportation vehicle expectations of what we're going to use in the vehicle fleet throughout the United States. I think what this announcement does is it indicates the support of this administration for biofuels generally. It obviously will create demand for a certain type of fuel that will be used in aviation and marine fuel needs. And I think it expresses the expanded opportunity that biofuels and the bio-based economy present. The Navy, the Defense Department, has always been on the cutting edge of new initiatives and new innovations in our economy. And I think the fact that the Defense Department and the Navy in particular is interested in as the Secretary Mavis has indicated, having a greater balance in their fuel mix and fuel portfolio to guard against substantial increases in fuel costs that occur from time to time. And that it is a matter of national security that we do so. I think should send a strong message that regardless of what EPA may or may not do, that this is an industry and this is an administration that can work together to expand opportunity. And that's why I have suggested on the RFS issue that to the extent that we at USDA can be of help in expanding distribution of higher blends for our vehicles, for our cars and trucks, that we should be working with the industry and working with convenience store operators to reduce the risk and financial costs of putting in systems that would allow for higher blends. That's how you would deal with whatever decision the EPA ultimately decides. Now, they're in the process of submitting comments. They've received a lot of comments, and so they've got some decisions to make. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to press forward with an aggressive effort to grow this industry in as many ways as we possibly can. The Navy's one way, commercial aviation is one way, expanding distribution opportunities for higher blends is yet another way.
We continue with callers on the line. Let's go to Jerry Perkins with Biofuels Journal. Jerry.
Thank you very much for taking my question, Mr. Secretaries. In your announcement, can you say how much fuel you are going to purchase at the Navy, how much money you are going to spend? And a follow-up question to that, can you be more specific as to the types of drop-ins that you are going to be interested in purchasing, what feedstocks they would come from or processes they would come from?
I can tell you that we're, as I said, we're going to be soliciting for anywhere from a 10% biofuel to a 50% biofuel mixture with conventional fuels. At 10%, that's 70 million gallons. And I'm not going to do math in public to multiply that on up, but at 10%, it's 70 million gallons. The price will be whatever it comes in at, but this, as I said, is part of the normal Defense Logistics Agency's fuel purchase requirements, and it has to be, as I've said from the very beginning, before we're going to buy large purchases of biofuel, it's got to be competitive with conventional fuel, and thanks to the CCC money, that is guaranteed. In this case, if it is needed, we have an absolute guarantee that it will be competitive with normal fuels. And the two types of fuel, one is JP5, which is avgas, aviation fuel, and one is F76, which is marine diesel. And we have tested biofuels in all types of our aircraft and certified them, all types of our ships and certified them, and we are completely neutral on what feedstock. As long as it meets our specification, it can come from any feedstock that's available out there.
Let's continue with our calls. Chuck Abbott from Reuters.
Oh, that's good to go. I'm sorry. Hi there. Mr. Secretary, I'm hoping you can answer one question about what's going to be the impact of the FDA guidance on use of antibiotics in livestock. Is that going to cost farmers, cost producers money? Will it require them to, get new barns or feedlots to handle the impact?
Well, first of all, let me apologize to my good friend Ray Mavis for having to sit through some of these questions, which obviously don't at all relate to the biofuel announcement that we made. But Chuck, to your question.
Anytime I'm on the phone with you, Tom Vilsack, I'm happy.
thanks, Ray. First and foremost, this is a voluntary guidance. The FDA is indicating the need for us to be very judicious about ways in which antibiotics are used. It's something very consistent with what we have said is the position at USDA, and I think the position of the vast, vast, vast majority of producers in this country, that they are not and should not and are not using these antibiotics for things other than what they were intended for, which is the treatment of disease and problems. The fact that the producers, the livestock industry, the veterinarians understand and appreciate the partnership that they have to have to make sure that this is done. We did go out with the FDA. We, meaning USDA officials, went out throughout the country and had listening sessions and hearings on this to make sure that people understood what this was all about. So I don't think that a producer necessarily has to go to great lengths to build new barns and things of that nature. But I do think that producers need to be sensitive about the appropriate use of the antibiotic, and I think if they are, this system is going to work quite well. And if they work in conjunction with their veterinarian, this system should work very, very well.
All right.
Alan, do you have any closing comments?
Well, I would like to say, again, thank you to Tom Vilsack and the Department of Agriculture. And this is another step toward energy security. It's another step toward our national security, and it shows the commitment, as Secretary Vilsack said, of this administration toward both our rural economy and making sure it's vibrant and healthy, and also to our national defense and making sure that the money that we have for national defense is spent in. We have some certainty in how much our fuel is going to cost so that we can make sure, in the case of the Navy and Marine Corps, that those big gray hulls are out around the world doing what they do so well, which is protect this country and respond to anything that comes over the horizon, from high-end combat to humanitarian assistance and disaster relief.
Well, I want to just add to that my thanks to Secretary Mavis and to those in the Navy and the Marine Corps for their forward thinking on this. I think it's we often think of the military in terms of the national security and the protections that they provide, and we are very blessed to have those protections. But we don't often recognize the military and the Defense Department for its promotion of innovation in our economy. And this is another example, another opportunity for the Defense Department to continue that history, and for the Navy in particular to continue that history of promoting innovation. I did some quick math, and my math may not be right, but we're looking at a possibility of anywhere from 70 million to several hundred million gallons of fuel that will allow us that transition period. And that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity for production facilities to produce more and to sell more. It's an opportunity for whatever feedstock might be most appropriate for the producers of that feedstock to have a stabilized income during that two-year period. And it is a clear signal and should be interpreted as a clear signal of things yet to come in terms of commercial aviation and the Defense Department in terms of their marine and aviation fuel needs. There's a tremendous opportunity out there, and this announcement is a reflection of our support for the biofuel industry and the President's belief in the all-the-above energy strategy and fuel strategy. So I'm looking forward to the meeting on the 30th of January. It should be an opportunity for folks to hear more about this farm-to-fleet program, and again, appreciate the Navy's commitment to this.
And with that, Secretary Vilsack and Secretary Mabus, thank you for being on this call, and those who also were listening and got in their questions, that concludes our media call.